live on Blog Talk Radio for a very, very special edition Sports Club Board Check. Had something come up yesterday, so we are pushing Board Check to the first 15 minutes of today's show. You guys will enjoy that. It may be 15 minutes. It may just be 10. There's not a whole lot going on in hockey world, but there's a couple things we want to bring up. In fact, one Gladiators thing we will actually kind of address a little more later. It's interesting. I had an initial reaction, then I thought about it. I'm going to have a different reaction here shortly. But, as I said, this special edition Sports Club Board Check called New Ideas. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeremy the Impact York, your illustrious host. Tons we're going to get into tonight. There's trades going on. There's other things going on. The Falcons are actually doing something positive outside of not paying their players. The Braves had a couple notes. A lot of fun stuff we're going to really get into. Who knows? Maybe Cody joins us towards the end of this, and we really get into some stuff. But as I said, Borchek at the front, so let's get into it right now. The things you need to know. Well, Gladiators-wise, two things in particular. We'll get to the other one in a second. But as of right now, the thing you really need to know is that they're going to have a special edition Night with the Gladiators at the Gwinnett Stripers game. You know, they used to be the Gwinnett Braves. They decided to name themselves after a fish. Kind of a cool-looking logo. Don't know if it made the team play any better. But, hey, special edition. That means for everybody who collects jerseys. Can't lie, they look pretty cool. But they have actually, they do these all the time where the Gladiators will wear a special edition striper jersey. That was that crazy looking green one we had last year. Now the Stripers are going to do the same, and they're going to have a Gladiator theme later on this year. I believe August 18th is going to be at a Cool Ray Field, also the home of Atlanta United 2. Whole different thing there. From what it says, I'm reading this just as you guys are. It dropped just a few minutes ago. That game will be against the Buffalo Bisons, a 6:05 first pitch. Going to have a lot of gladiator-themed and hockey-themed activities. Who knows? Maybe the guys will go take batting practice. We'll get to see some fun things like that. But all proceeds, you will have a opportunity to bid on all the game-worn jerseys for a silent auction throughout the game. All proceeds will go to the P4 Foundation, which is a Buford, Georgia based nonprofit organization supported by both the Stripers and the Gladiators. They work with children and families impacted by childhood cancer. Definitely a good cause. Even if you don't get one of the jerseys, you can still donate time, effort, money to helping these people out. Once again, that's the P4 Foundation out of Buford. You can Google them if you can't find the link on AtlantaGladiators.com, but I would be willing to bet it's on there somewhere. But you can actually already get tickets to this. There's a link on the Gladiator site, as well as, I believe, the Striper site. I'm sure Ticketmaster and some other ones have them as well. But that's the big Gladiator thing. Like I said, we'll get into the second thing. It's part of the theme I will get into shortly. The big news out of the Hurricane world, Hurricane Land, whatever you want to call that, is they have finally got around to trading face of the team, Jeff Skinner. He was traded to the Buffalo Sabres just, I don't know, 30 seconds before the music started. He was traded for forward prospect Cliff Pooh, a second-round pick in next year's draft, and a third-round and sixth-round pick in the 2020 draft. Now, let's not all act surprised here. We all knew Jeff Skinner was getting traded. Do we want Jeff Skinner traded? That's probably a 50-50 split. It's not that he's a bad player. I'm not sure that he fits the new scheme of the team. He did everything he could. He was a great young leader for us. He's going to yield a prospect and three potential more prospects in the next couple years. The New Look Hurricanes are exactly that, the New Look Hurricanes. It's unfortunate. Like I said, Jeff did a lot of really great things, but wish him the best in Buffalo. I'm not sure at this point because, like I said, this just dropped a few minutes ago. I'm not sure where the prospect Cliff Pooh is going to go. My guess is he will be in Charlotte with the Checkers to start with, but he could get a camp invite. Could be with the Everblades, who knows? But big news out of Carolina, Jeff Skinner traded to Buffalo for a prospect, a second rounder next year, and a third and sixth in the following year. I believe that's just the majority of everything going on. It's not a dead period because there's always something going on. But at the same time, just everybody at this point thinks their team's going to do well. Everybody could be right. Right now, everybody's 0-0. Nobody's played a game. Nobody's been on the ice to really practice outside of prospects. Who knows what could really happen? For everybody who was wondering, that was this week's Board Check. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, just not a lot going on. But that allows us to go into some other fun things. I want to start here because it's going to be a downer note, and then after that, we will get into some higher things. The passing in the recent week of Nikolai Volkov, who was 70, and Brian Christopher from the wrestling world. A lot of people remember Nikolai Volkov, big, strong guy, super friendly with everybody. It's going to be a big loss, but especially Brian Christopher. Brian Christopher being the son of WWE Hall of Famer and just all-around Memphis legend, Jerry the King Lawler. Brian never wanted to use the Lawler name. That's why he always went by Brian Christopher. He always wanted to strike out on his own. Jerry always said he respected him for that. But Brian had some demons. And ultimately, I believe he took his own life was the last I saw on that. A lot of people remember he was Grandmaster Sexay as he was part of the tag team Too Cool with Scotty Too Hotty back in the day, back during the Attitude Era. They had Rikishi in there as well. But just sad to hear of anybody passing, but especially somebody with the demons Brian had. So, you know, thoughts, prayers, condolences to the Volkov and Lawler families there. Just tragic losses. Moving on to what should be a brighter note for Raiders fans, it may not be. The Raiders and the Khalil Mack situation. It's just got a weird vibe to it. I'm not sure if you guys have picked up on this. You got Khalil Mack, arguably one of the top five young defensive players in the league. You got John Gruden, arguably one of the biggest faces of the league, even though he hasn't coached in 10 years, but the booth, calling games, coached before then. He's a big-time personality. We all know that. Apparently, he hasn't really spoken to Khalil Mack since he took over as the head coach. Well, that was a handful of months ago. Khalil Mack is playing out the last of his rookie deal. He would like his new deal. He should get paid. They should at least be talking about it. Now, in the same respect that I said Julio should play out his contract that he signed. He signed that contract so many years ago. The rookie deal is a little different. The rookie deal, based off where you're drafted, is either a 4 or 5 year deal. There's a 5th year option for number one picks, for first round picks, like Khalil was. But he's playing out the last year of this. He's wanting to negotiate and get his pay there. You got Aaron Donald trying to get his with the Rams. Okay. You know, certain things make sense. This Khalil Mack situation, though, is just bizarre. Apparently, his people are not very happy with Gruden and the Raiders because of just the lack of communication. They all knew that this situation was coming up. They all knew they needed to do this. This should have been one of the top priorities of Gruden taking over. So far, it seems to be the most forgotten or left out. At this point, I don't know what's going to happen. Khalil Mack's going to probably just continue to hold out and not show up. This is his prerogative. It's, you know, collective bargaining agreement allows them to do that. But the fact that Gruden hadn't talked to him. I know Gruden loves quarterbacks. He's a big offensive guy. You've got to reach out to the faces on this team. I mean, probably the first phone call he made was to Derek Carr. That's understandable. But to not to your number one defensive player. You're really putting a strain on this team because this guy is a pivot point. He is a pillar of this team. But like I said, it's got this weird vibe to it. I don't think anything weird is going to happen. It's just got this uncomfortable vibe where it's going to be awkward pretty much from here on out. They're going to have to negotiate this thing pretty soon. But just, you know, keep an eye out on the Rams and Aaron Donald. Keep an eye out on the Raiders and Khalil Mack. These two contracts are going to have a lot to do with each other. Moving on. Sam Darnold has officially signed with the Jets. This only leaves Roquan Smith as the only first-round pick who has not signed. Get into that in a minute. The Jets needed to shore this up. Stability. They need to make sure that Sam is there just as soon as he can be. You know, that makes a lot of sense. And this helps the Jets moving forward. Like I said, the sooner you get Sam in, you can start installing things with him. I think he'll be starting games relatively soon for them. I don't think out of the gate, but somewhere down the road, probably so. But I want to talk about Roquan Smith and the Bears. And the reason why, he's the last one. He's the holdout. There is some offset language that they are going back and forth about. They are debating with this contract. Basically, most deals in the NFL involve this particular clause. Any kind of guaranteed money on a contract is forfeited. Anything you would do in the future, forfeited. If you get suspended, or maybe if you get arrested, or if you violate team rules, certain things like that. Not that Roquan Smith is gonna take a banned substance. It's not like he's gonna wreck a car. You know, knock on wood here. He's not that kind of guy. For one, he's a Georgia guy. The worst thing Georgia Bulldog players ever do is get DUIs about a couple times a year. Yes, those are bad. I'm not condoning that particular thing, but you hardly ever, if ever, can probably pinpoint they did anything other than driving drunk or getting arrested for walking around drunk. Once again, don't condone those activities, but that's the worst thing that comes out of there. It's not like they're Ohio State. A whole different thing. We might get into that in a minute. But no, Roquan Smith, I don't like this particular clause either, because let's say Roquan Smith signs his rookie deal. Let's say it's not going to be this big. Let's say he's supposed to make $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million. It's just going to escalate each year by a million. Obviously, it's going to be a little smaller than that because of the rookie contracts, but just say, for the sake of my argument, that's what's going to happen. So he plays year one, makes $1 million. No, you know, no arrests, no suspensions, none of that. And let's say that all 25 of this is supposed to be guaranteed. Let's say that it all is. All 15 of this is supposed to be, these are all hypotheticals. Let's say they sit down and they say, yeah, you know what, it'll all be guaranteed if you play out the life of the contract. Great. So he plays out year one, gets his million. Plays out year two, still no hiccups, no nothing. Gets his $2 million. Year three, still nothing. But coming up on year four, the Bears start going, man, he's got a real good track record, and we appreciate that he's not doing anything off-field that's detrimental to the team. And we appreciate that he's not taking banned substances or illegal substances. He's not doing drugs. He's not failing drug tests or PED tests or none of that. You know, model citizen. It's great for Chicago. Chicago has a lot of those all the time. But if the Brady's going of being a model citizen, God, we're gonna owe him $9 million. Let's say he unfortunately blows out his knee tomorrow. We're gonna owe him $4 million this year and $5 million next year because they're guaranteed, and he blew out his knee, so he's not gonna play anymore. We're gonna owe him $9 million. Or what kind of player is he gonna be on the back end of this? So what can we do to avoid doing that? Hey, I know. Let's find some weird way that he violated team rules, and we'll suspend him or fine him. And in the process, that'll kick out the automatic payouts of those last 2 years. So I'm not saying the Bears do this, and I'm not saying teams in general do this, but they could. And this is why I don't like this particular thing. At some point, they could go, well, we don't want to have to pay him the rest of that guaranteed money, so the best thing for us to do is to find a way that he violated team rules so that we can kick it out. So an agreement that they made, they'd find a way to get out of. That's what I don't like about this. And I'm like, once again, I don't think that any of these teams do this, but that potential save. If it saves you $9 million in guaranteed, oh, off of player injury risk, a lot of business owners are going to go, okay, why not? Once again, I don't think the Bears nor anybody else would do this, but that's kind of some of the offset language they're talking about here, is that guaranteed money would be, the guarantee would be pulled off of it in the off chance that any of these things happen. Now, we all know how easy it is for them to accidentally take something that would spike a drug test or spike a substance test. Based off the new helmet rule, what if Roquan lowers his helmet in the wrong fashion, whether on purpose or not? Maybe he accidentally lowers his helmet to do this, hits a player, gets fined or gets suspended, now kicks out his guaranteed money with that. That's where he's arguing this, is what if one of these new rules he violates because of the way he plays, even accidentally, and now his guarantees are all off the table because of this. So that's why he's the lone holdout. That's why the Bears are hopefully having nightmares trying to figure this out. And that's why he's the last one not signed. It's this offset language. The best thing for them to do is to sit down, find either a happy medium, or find a way to make him feel more secure while, not breaking the bank in guarantees. Maybe a signing bonus, something like that. Because Roquan's sitting there thinking the same thing. If it is an injury, but it's not all guaranteed, then they can do an injury settlement and release him, waive him, whatever. He's off the team. He is making, at that point, after his settlement, he will make $0 to support his family, and as security, you're taking away from people. That would be like, it'd be like if your company could up and fire you for any reason and take away your retirement. Not so fun, right? Not fun at all. So that's the gist of that. That's what I've been able to read into it, things I've reached out to. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's something the Bears are going to have to figure out because it's getting time to sign him. Kind of beyond that. The Falcons, now that they've already paid Julio, now that they've paid Matt, or they found more money for Julio, they got to worry about some other people. They are turning their focus for a new deal to Ricardo Allen. Ricardo Allen, defensive back who they need desperately. And Ricardo Allen, who has been a very good player for them in the last few years. I don't have a problem with this. Falcons fans, I can't say anything detrimental to this. Should they work on the contracts of people like Grady Jarrett and can't think of the other guy, but like Tack McKinley, things like that? Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. But focusing on Ricardo Allen, who you need desperately, I have no problem with this. And I feel like this is probably going to happen in the next couple weeks. They will move on to the next guy. Just think that every major person that they want to extend an offer to or negotiate things going forward, it's going to take about a week and a half to 2 weeks before we find out. About every week and a half, I think, they'll be releasing the information on this. I feel like a lot of this has already happened. They're just going to release it slowly because there's no reason to drop it all at once. It is what it is. Let's see. What else can we get into? I want to do a lot of NFL before I get into the bigger stuff. Brett Musburger is now going to be the Raiders play-by-play voice. He has the Vegas connection. Obviously, they're going to go ahead and get that rolling there. Getting rid of Greg Papa, who was the voice of the Raiders for the last, millennium or better. I don't know. He's got some great calls. I mean, I'm not saying Musburger's going to be terrible because he's not. He's good. Greg Papa is an institution. That guy is fantastic. He's a legend. I know Cody knows him well. That has nothing to do with why I like him. I liked him way before I knew Cody either. So kind of the way that all went down, I wasn't very peachy on. I don't think he was very peachy on it as well. But, good luck to Greg Papa with all his future endeavors. I know he's still got the radio show and all the other stuff. I believe he's on 105.3 The Game. Or 97.5 the game. Yeah. In the Bay Area. I get those confused sometimes. But Brett Musburger calling Raiders games. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully we get that feed out here. If not, we'll try to find a way to get out. I would like to hear him call a couple games. I want to hear the difference. I want to hear some things he's going to get into. You know, it's a little different. We'll see what goes with that. The NFL is pretty much telling Jerry Jones to stop talking about the anthem and the anthem policies. I'm not going to say this is a bad thing, but as a Jerry Jones fan, both because of media and because I'm a Cowboys fan and just a fan of Jerry in general, I'm not going to say it's necessarily a bad thing. I think they're trying to iron this out behind closed doors, and until everything comes out, they want Jerry and some of the other owners to kind of not talk about it, because when it comes out, they don't want somebody leaking something that may be detrimental to the outcome of this. And there's a chance that Jerry Jones could do such a thing. Not saying Jerry's done it before. You know, if you're trying to work on something, you know, think of it like you're trying to plan a surprise party for your significant other. You have to tell a few people because you need accomplices to help, you know, play everything up and to help get everything to work. Well, if one of those accomplices leaks information about it to the wrong people, it's not really a surprise anymore, and it's not going to really go as planned. So, you know, they're working on the anthem policy. I know them and the Player Association have pretty much halted any kind of ruling that they may have at this point. I think at some point it's just going to get to, they just make the blanket rule that, hey, it can be on a team-by-team basis if they allow you to stay in the locker room or not, or if you're a collective unit or not, but if you're on the field when the anthem's being played, you stand up. I think that's what they're going to go to. It's going to kind of be like the NBA. The problem is the NBA nipped this in the bud a long time ago and just made a blanket policy and said, hey, we stand. Or, you know, we stand. There's no other option. So we'll see how that really goes. The NFL's got a lot of other things to work out, but we'll see what happens. And Jerry Jones has quieted down some. He talked more about the Cowboys, and we'll get more into them here in a second because they're going to be part of a big thing I want to get into. Some other news and notes. We're going to kind of hop around different sports. Dustin Johnson hit a 370-yard drive on the 18th hole en route to winning the RBC Canadian Open. He was minus 23 for the tournament. His third win this year, his 19th win overall, and he is still ranked number one in the world. Congratulations, Dustin Johnson. A funny note about Dustin Johnson. I'm a big fan of his. That's not the note. He was at a pro-am event, pro-am meaning that a pro plays with an amateur, a.k.a. usually celebrity, and they get to one of the holes, and before you could tee off, it was sponsored by something hockey-related. So you had to put on your favorite player's jersey before you tee off. Well, who does Dustin Johnson put on? Wayne Gretzky. Is it necessarily because he's the biggest Wayne Gretzky fan? I'm sure he's a fan of Wayne Gretzky. But it may have something to do with his fiance is Paulina Gretzky. You guys know this. So I thought that was a funny little note. Good for Dustin. I think it would have been funnier if he would have put on a Mario Lemieux jersey or maybe a Paul Coffey. But congratulations, Dustin Johnson. You're still number one in the world. You're one of my favorite golfers, for whatever that's worth to you. And 370 yards is a long, long way. It's almost 4 football fields. That's insane. Moving on. Let's talk a little about the Braves. Over the weekend, Sean Newcomb almost threw a no-hitter. He got all the way 8 2/3 before giving up a hit that went between the shortstop and third baseman. They subsequently took him out. Two batters later, the game was over. Fantastic win for the Braves, but Sean Newcomb was dealing the other day, and this was against the Dodgers. the Dodgers are arguably one of the top three teams in the league right now. So the fact that Nuke was able to almost no-hit them shows you where this Braves team's at. Sean Newcomb, on any given day, can have this kind of electric stuff. He usually averages slightly below this, which is fine. It's pretty good. It's still good. It's better than good. He was great on this game, and congratulations to him on that. Congratulations to the Braves and the Hall of Fame, and obviously to Chipper Jones, who they honored over the weekend. By far, Chipper is one of the most recognizable and better players that they've had in my lifetime. And that includes those 90s teams. He had a lot of good players around him as well. But Maddux and Glavine and Smoltz are all already in. Chipper is the other no-brainer here. We'll see what happens as far as some other people. But congratulations, Chipper Jones. You absolutely deserve it. And kudos to the Braves and Hall of Fame for doing all you did to honor one of the greatest players. Let's see. Let's move into some NBA a little bit. And then we will finish up with some food for thought. Carmelo Anthony completes the Hawks buyout. You know, the Hawks traded for him. It was part of a thing where there was going to be a buyout. He completed that by giving back $2.4 million of his $27.9 million. Wow. Gosh, thank you so much, Carmelo Anthony. You didn't want to play for us. You want to be able to choose where you go. You've bullied the league for all these years. You know, instead of doing this buyout once before, you decided, well, no, I want you to trade me to this team. Well, the problem is they had to give up every asset they had to get you on the team. So when you got there, you had no pieces around, and you moaned about that. You're a great scorer. I'll give you that, Carmelo. Great scorer. You don't do anything else. The best part is if you drive down the road with Carmelo Anthony, you never have to, or if you're in a caravan with him, he's going to stay in his lane because he's never going to pass. He's never going to pass anybody because he doesn't pass to anybody. But thank you so much for giving back $2.4 million of the $27.9 that was owed to you to complete that deal. Now you can go play with Houston and enjoy being second, fourth place to Golden State and the Lakers. But, yeah. Speaking of the Hawks, and this is where I'm going to tie in the local thing here. Speaking of the Hawks are going to lower price of 11 of the most popular concession items by 50%. They're going to kind of, as they're doing these renovations, they're kind of do they're doing a similar thing to what the Falcons and United do with their lower concession prices. I think it's a great idea. I think this particular idea is going to do well. Because a family of four is trying to buy tickets, a lot of fans are trying to eat before they get to games because sometimes the food is a little out of their budget. And it's not that it's like $20 hamburgers, but no, even a $7 hot dog times four people, that's $28. You haven't gotten a drink yet, you know, $4 water, stuff like that. It's when I've already paid $50 for the seat to get there, that's $200. You know, you start adding this up, it's $300-$500 to take the family of four to a game. Yeah, I can go on vacation for that. Not far, but I can go on vacation for that. I can at least have a good start. You could take your significant other on a cruise for around that. But congratulations and kudos to the Hawks for lowering that and realizing that the price points were a little high for the fans. I don't have a problem with that. We're going to try to make it out with some games this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we've been out to United. We're going to try to do what we can with the Falcons. It's a whole other thing that so far they're pricing a lot of us out of going to games. But, you know, congratulations to them on getting the money up front. You got United. They get the big two win, 2-1 win over the Montreal Impact. Eric Rebetti gets some other solid minutes in there. Martinez continues to shine. Got all the local teams doing well. You know, speaking of the Gladiators, let me find the exact write-up here. But the Gladiators have decided they're now going to have their first ever dance team. I think it's a great idea. A lot of people think it's some crazy gimmick to get more people to show up. Some people may show up, but you go to Gladiator games for the action, the hockey. The other things they do are great. It's just like Swarm games. The Georgia Swarm are one of the best lacrosse teams in the league, in the MLS, NLL. Yeah. So you go for the game. It's nice when Scotty McCrary and others, Lifehouse, do these concerts. That's fantastic. Those are bonuses, though. You go for the games. You go for the action. So, reading up on some of this, as far as their dance team, they're going to hold auditions for the new dance team. They're going to be the Gladiator Girls. It will be on August 18th. Let's see. They will be at the Infinite Energy Center. That's a Saturday. Check-in will be at 10:30 a.m. with no pre-registration required. Auditions will feature a special guest judge from the NBA Atlanta Hawks dance team, and the squad will be chosen by the conclusion of that day. According to the Director of Game Day Operations, Mary Whitner, quote, our new dance team will not just be girls dancing every now and then at our games. They will be an integral part of our game presentation and a fixture in our expanded community involvement. We're also going to integrate a Junior Glad Girls program and events to have young girls be a part of our team as well. I love it. Getting more people involved, getting more women to the games. I'm not saying it's all guys that show up, because there are a lot of very passionate women hockey fans. They're fantastic. But showing women and showing young girls that the great game of hockey is for everybody. That, look, and these are opportunities for some of these girls. You could be a glad girl by get you into Hawks and dancing and modeling. It's a great way to get into that industry. So if you have any questions about auditions or the dance team as a whole, you can contact Mary Whitner at M. Whitner, that's M-W-H-I-T-E-N-E-R, AtlantaGladiators.com, or you can call 770-497-5113. All this information and the rest of the story is at AtlantaGladiators.com. So, the Gladiators have a dance team. Two thumbs up. Look forward to interacting with them down there while we're down there. And the Hawks, lower prices on some concessions. Two thumbs up. Love it. You got the Braves off to a great roll still. Fantastic. The Falcons shoring up the people they need to shore up. And college football is about to kick off. What a great time to be in Atlanta. Let's see. So the last few things we'll get into, some food for thought here, maybe get some things going. Is Aaron Rodgers. You know, I talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot, but Aaron Rodgers is one of the faces of this league. He's very good. He's great. Let's be honest. He's probably the greatest one quarterback out right now. Overall, when you factor in age, factor in everything, what they do, those kinds of things. Somebody brought up that Aaron Rodgers may be the new Brady in that he takes less on his contracts. Maybe he doesn't care that much about being the top paid, because he realizes where some of the other money is going. Now, the difference is the Patriots use the money they save on Brady's contract to go get assets to help him win games. I'm not sure what the Green Bay Packers spend the money on. Clearly it's players, but it just hasn't panned out. But to say that, you know, here he is, the most talented one in the league, like Brady used to be. He's taking less money. He likes to go to big events. He's got a high-profile girlfriend in Danica Patrick. You know, is he kind of like the new Brady? Well, I've also heard if instead of Brady, is he more of the new Steve Young? Took over for a legend. He took over for Favre, obviously Montana before Steve Young. You got the mobility. You got the skill. He's got a ring that he won. You could kind of argue towards the end of Steve Young's tenure in San Francisco that they didn't have as many pieces around him, the same way Aaron Rodgers deals with it now. I don't think Steve was ever the most highest paid quarterback in the league. When you think about it, I think he's kind of the hybrid mix. He's part Brady. Let's put it into perspective here. He's one-third Brady. He's one-third Steve Young. And he's one-third himself because he has the personality. And he has, Steve Young, also a smaller guy with mobility, for Aaron Rodgers, just has a rocket arm, makes all the throws, fires back at defensive players. But to say that Aaron Rodgers is the new Brady, I think he's somewhere between a hybrid of Tom Brady and Steve Young. And enjoy that one at the water coolers. I know we're going to push that at the water cooler tomorrow and see where that goes. But either way, I look forward to Aaron Rodgers being back this year, being healthy. And as long as he's on the field, just like Brady and just like Young, as long as those guys are on the field, their team has a chance. They absolutely have a chance. I'm going to save a couple of the other ones because they're not time pertinent ones, and I want to get the guys' perspective on it because I think we're going to really get into one with each one of them. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in to the special edition Sports Club Board Tech Super Combo Show tonight. Everything will be back at its normal scheduled time next week, hopefully. We will try to get some more guests on. We'll hopefully have the guys back on next week as well. This has been Sports Club Board Check Special Edition New Ideas. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys down the road. Go watch hockey.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?